now we're going to get a Middle East news update. The man who does that for us so very, very well is our broadcast partner, David Dolan. He's in the western part of the United States and on his way back to Israel in a couple of weeks or so. But we caught him so that we could find out what is happening in that part of the world. By the way, David, I'm going to meet you into Israel. This Wednesday, we'll be flying into Tel Aviv or Ben-Gurion Airport, going up to Jerusalem, our tour coming in on Thursday. So we'll get everything ready for you when you come back.
I appreciate that, Jimmy. Do that indeed.
Well, we're looking forward. I hope we can cross paths while we are both in Israel, spend some time together. Got a lot to talk about, David. Vice President Joe Biden, is going to arrive in Israel this next week. He's going to be involved in trying to kickstart the peace talks. I want to talk to you about what they mean when they say indirect talks. But this is a pretty high-level administration official when we talk about the vice president coming into Israel. Do you think this makes a difference? Can he play a key role in getting these talks back on track?
Well, he certainly, Jimmy, can play a significant role. I don't know about key, but, both Israel and the Palestinians look to the United States as mediator and as a friend and as an ally, certainly in Israel's case. Some Palestinians also believe that applies to them, and some don't, of course. Hamas and those groups don't at all. But certainly with the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas and the Prime Minister and others, they will not want to be seen to in any way be snubbing the Vice President or insulting him by not adhering to his requests. And, of course, it's not just him. The proximity talks, as they're actually calling them, in Israel, but they are, as you said, indirect peace talks that have been proposed by the Obama administration.
David, let me interrupt you just for a moment. What do you mean by indirect talks? What's that about?
Well, basically, Abbas, the Palestinian Authority leader, said we refuse to sit in the same room with the Netanyahu government, with the Israelis. So, and this is a throwback to a much earlier period because, as you know, Jimmy, there's been a direct face-to-face Israeli-Palestinian peace negotiations going on almost nonstop since 1992, apart from during some of the worst days of the Second Palestinian Uprising from the year 2000 on. The talks have been going on. And Ehud Olmert, the last prime minister, held direct talks with Abbas, and Defense Minister Barak was said to have recently secretly visited with Abbas while they were both in Amman, Jordan, but nevertheless officially giving in to Hamas pressure and pressure from Iran and Hezbollah in Syria, Abbas is saying, no, we won't sit down directly with the Israelis. So George Mitchell, the U.S. Special Middle East envoy, is apparently going to be shuttling between maybe two different hotels, we're not sure, two different office buildings, something like that, and, taking the latest position from the one side to the other side. Now, the Israelis say this is silly, and they say they hope that these proximity talks, as the U.S. is calling them, but these indirect talks will soon give way to, again, direct peace negotiations. Netanyahu is asking for that. But Abbas continues to say, not until you stop building everywhere in the contested territories, including inside of the eastern half of Jerusalem, which, as you know, Netanyahu is not prepared to do. So these talks may stay indirect, if indeed they actually take place, for some time.
The last week report from out of, I think it was Sharm el-Sheikh, where the foreign ministers of the Arab League got together, and they basically approved when Abbas, the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, went there to meet with these men. They approved the fact of these indirect talks taking place in Israel, and indeed they said the only stipulation they put on them was that there be a time limit, that they not continue on endlessly. And do you think that's going to be the case, and will Biden probably kick these talks off if he is indeed that high-ranking official from the Obama administration that's going to be on the scene at the time?
Well, to answer the second question first, yes, probably while he's there, they'll actually hold the first maybe just a symbolic session, as it were, that he will preside over. Maybe he'll even get both Abbas and Netanyahu in the same room to do that. I'm certain that he would want to do that. And again, Netanyahu's fine with that. So it would just be if Abbas feels politically he can do it. And again, as President Obama stated himself in early January, Abbas has Hamas, you know, breathing down his neck all the time. So he has to watch what he does. But it certainly will help things along that the Arab League foreign ministers formally approved this. Now, it has to be pointed out that Syria didn't participate in that, but they most of the Arab League foreign ministers were there, and they did approve of this decision. So it's some breathing space, as it were, or some endorsement for Abbas. He can point to his own people and say, look, I'm not just doing the bidding of America here, but our fellow Arabs feel this is a good move as well. So it helps him, definitely.
Of course, we're going to have to continue to watch this story very closely. The peace talks somewhat in a freeze mode, but that's what the settlements are supposed to be, construction at least in a freeze mode. That is not the case. They're hoping to unfreeze these peace talks as well. Speaking of foreign ministers, the Saudi foreign minister, Saud al-Faisal, made a statement this week. I don't know how to take this statement. He said that his country is starting to moderate religiously somewhat, but he accused the Israeli people and the body politic of Israel basically becoming extremist religious state. I mean, there is about only 30% of the state of Israel that is religious. Do you see that at all happening? And is he totally off base? And what's behind when he's making this statement?
I would say he's totally off base. As to what's behind it, I guess you'd have to really go into his own mind. But, you know, the more moderate Arab leaders, and certainly the Saudis fit in that category in comparison to Syria or Sudan or even Iran, of course, which is a non-Arab country but still a regional Muslim one, they're fairly moderate, and that gets them into hot water with a lot of the extremists. They're always criticizing them. So every so often these leaders make some anti-Israel statement that seems to go over real well, that's popular on the street, and it seems to solidify their credentials as hardliners, you know, or as keeping the light of Islam flowing brightly, that sort of thing. But no, the Israeli, as you said, the Orthodox observant part of the country is about 35% at most of the people. That's of the Jewish population. So if you count the million Arab citizens there are in Israel, it really works out to about 25% of the people of Israel would fit in that category. And most of them are very pious, as you know, going there. They go around, do their own thing. They don't get involved in much politically. There are several Orthodox political parties, but they're sort of just mostly narrowly focused on their own areas of concern and don't take much active interest in the military or these sorts of matters. So Israel's in no danger of being run by such people. And the idea that Netanyahu is somehow secretly controlled by them, as the Iranian, our famous Ahmadinejad, said recently, is pretty absurd as well.
Well, there is, of course, that part of the body politic which would be religious, the Orthodox Jews. They do want to have some influence on the government, but they are certainly not taking over the government by any way, shape, or form. And isn't it not ironic, David, that Saudi Arabia, which has the Wahhabism a part of Islam as its undergirding for its Islamic faith, would make a statement like that?
Well, you know, it's the pot calling the kettle black, basically. So, I mean, if there's any oppressive state religiously on earth, certainly you have to list Saudi Arabia right up there, because, of course, they do completely limit freedom of worship for Christians or Jews or any other group than Muslims, and have strong restrictions on their own female population, etc. So, I mean, it really is rather absurd for them to be warning that a fairly vibrant democracy like Israel, that, yes, takes into account. Certainly Netanyahu listens to the religious coalition partners he has, and he pays attention to the settlers and others because they're part of his country. But they certainly don't rule him or run the show, and are not set to do so, and most of them wouldn't want to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, David, I hope we can see you, touch base with you. If we get together in Israel, that'd be great. Thanks for giving us this report on the Middle East. David Dolan, our special broadcast partner today. Thank you, David.
You're welcome, Jimmy.